Lord God, as we come now to your word to us in Scripture, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit. We give you thanks that we can, with confidence, come before you in worship, and we pray that you would speak to us now through your word to us in Scripture and through this sermon that I give. We pray that by your Spirit's inspiration, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O God, our loving Savior. All this we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage for this morning comes from the book of Hebrews. Listen now for God's holy word. The author writes to his friends, his congregation, saying, "Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." People of God, the grass may wither, the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. This morning, we are continuing in the sermon series that has been inspired by a sermon that was given at the Blauenberg Reformed Church back in 1831. This week, actually, the third week of May, May 14th in particular, was the anniversary of when the sanctuary here in Blauenberg was first opened and dedicated. It was the first service that was ever held in the church. Saturday, May 14th, the church was dedicated, a sermon was preached that day, and the building here in Blauenberg back in 1831 began its ministry in May 14th of 1831. And that first year, the congregation here in Blauenberg didn't have a regular preacher in the pulpit. Instead, every week a guest preacher would come and would lead the services on Sunday mornings. And so in the summer, in July of 1831, the first president of Princeton Theological Seminary, Reverend Dr. Archibald Alexander, was invited, and he came and he gave a sermon in that brand new pulpit in Blauenberg about God's houses of worship. He gave a sermon about why we desire to come to God's houses of worship. He gave a sermon about what is so desirable and wonderful, why it's so needed, why it's so delightful and beautiful for us, why it's so nourishing and important for us to gather together and to have a service of worship at times in God's houses of worship, or even now over Facebook Live or over Zoom or however it is that we can gather together in worship. Dr. Alexander, in this sermon back in 1831, reflected on many, many reasons why coming into God's presence and worshiping God is so needful, is so delightful, is so wonderful and important. And for the past few weeks that I've been preaching about some of those aspects that Dr. Alexander points out in his sermon. And this week, the theme or the idea that I'm focusing on that was present in his sermon was that we come to worship for water. We come to worship for water. Now, there are many things about water that are important for us human beings, right? Water is such an essential part of life. But in particular, the aspect of water that Dr. Alexander was focusing on in his sermon was the aspect of water wherein water is a purifying agent. Water is that thing in which we need to wash in order to be made clean. And the idea that he was dealing with is a common idea in religious practices, not only in our Christian practice or in the practices of the Old Testament, but throughout time and throughout history, human beings have had this sense that we human beings, if we are going to come into the presence of the divine, come into God's presence, we need to be washed, right? That there is this divide between divinity and humanity, and that in order for humans to get close to God, there needs to be a cleansing that takes place, right? And we see this in the Old Testament. We see this in the Old Testament scriptures. When God first began God's relationship with God's people, God knew that humanity was going to feel this need to be washed clean before they came and approached God. We see all throughout the Bible that God's desire is to be close to us, to be with us. But we also see all throughout Scripture that that our sins, our shortcomings, our failings, the things that we do that aren't good, they are a hindrance between us and our relationship with God. And at times in Scripture, our sins are described like a stain, like a blemish on our hearts and on our souls. It is as if our sins are making us dirty, right? And God, we understand, is perfect and holy, that God is pure, right? And we human beings, because of our sin, we feel imperfect. We feel profane. We feel impure, right? So all the way back in the Old Testament, when God first began God's relationship with God's people, God was aware of this divide and this challenge. And so God, when God is giving the people instructions for how it is that they can worship God, God gives them a way to feel purified. God gives them a way to feel as if they've been washed clean and they can come into God's presence. Now, it's not for everyone. It's just for the high priest, just for the most special person within God's people, the representative, the high priest, the person who comes before God to represent the people. And so God instructs Aaron, the high priest, that before he comes into the tabernacle, their place of worship, the place of worship that God gives them, that in order to come into that tabernacle, Aaron has to deal with that dirtying element of his sin and the sin of all of God's people, right? That he carries as a representative of all of God's people. And so God instructs Moses and Aaron to put within the tabernacle a basin, a bronze basin of water. And there, Aaron, before he serves in God's tabernacle, before he engages in the services of worship that the people do there in the tabernacle, Aaron must wash himself, his hands and his feet, to represent the cleansing that needs to take place in order for a human being, a sinful and stained human being, to come into God's pure and perfect presence. And so Dr. Alexander reflects on this in his sermon, that we need to be purified, we need to be made clean in order to come into God's presence. And so we come to worship on Sunday mornings, we come to our experiences of worship to have something, to engage in something related to this water in that bronze basin, to engage in something like that purification. This week, as I was studying this passage and thinking about it, I was trying to think of examples from my own experience of needing to be purified, needing to be washed clean, needing to be made fit and ready to enter a special space. And the story that I thought of was from a long time ago when I was a five-year-old. My family and I went on a family vacation with my grandparents down to Florida. My grandparents had this condo on Marco Island that they would rent from time to time. And one year they invited my family to come down with them. So when I was five and my twin brother was five and our older brother was seven, my family and I, we went down and we stayed at this condo. And it was wonderful. We loved it. It was so great. It was right on the beach. And we basically spent the whole time while we were there in our bathing suits and in flip-flops and t-shirts. You know, we would go out onto the beach and we'd play in the ocean, and we'd go out in the as the sun was setting and watch the sunset, and we'd look for seashells, and it was great, right? And there was a pool at the condo as well, so if we weren't at the beach, then we were hanging out at the pool in our bathing suits and our comfortable flip-flops and t-shirts, and just always covered in sand and sunscreen. It was just a wonderful experience. And that time when we were down there visiting with my grandparents when I was five, there was a special occasion. It was my grandparents' wedding anniversary. And understandably, they wanted to go out to a nice restaurant and have a nice dinner together with us and to celebrate their anniversary. And, you know, they didn't want to just go, the two of them. They were spending this vacation with my family. So they wanted, you know, all of us to come out together with them. And that meant that something needed to happen. You know, me and my brothers, we couldn't continue to exist with all that sunscreen and sand on us. We couldn't continue just to be in our bathing suits and our flip-flops and our t-shirts. If we wanted to go out to dinner with my grandparents to this fancy restaurant, we needed to be made fit. We needed to be made appropriate to enter into that sacred space or that special place, that very fancy restaurant. And so my parents came to us that afternoon and they gave us the news that rather than staying in our bathing suits and our flip-flops and our t-shirts, we were going to have to take a bath and get clean. And then after we took a bath and get clean, we were gonna have to put on our church clothes on like a Thursday afternoon down in Florida where the beach was just outside of our window. We were gonna have to put on our church clothes so that we could go to a fancy restaurant with gross food that we didn't wanna eat. And I'm sure those of you who have spent any time with a five-year-old or have been a parent, I'm sure you can imagine what that experience was like for me and my parents. My brothers and I, my mom reports, we just threw an absolute fit. We were not happy at all about this process of being made fit and being made clean, right? That restaurant existed. There was this special place. And to get into that special place, you needed to be dressed a certain way and you needed to be a certain kind of clean and you had to have a certain kind of clothes on and you needed to act a certain way. And you know, if you've spent any time with a five-year-old, that we had no, my brothers and I, we had no interest in that experience. But I hope you understand the point of the story, which is that we have these experiences of being made fit, right? Of being at the boundary of one space and another space, and realizing that to enter certain spaces, to enter the presence of certain people or certain experiences, we need to be made fit. We need to be made fit. And I wonder, well, it's not that I wonder, it's that I know that we wonder sometimes about whether or not we are fit. Are we fit to enter into God's presence, right? We think about Aaron, the high priest, washing his hands and his feet in that special basin in the tabernacle in order to be cleansed, in order to be made fit to do the work of serving in God's abode, in God's dwelling place on earth. On Sunday mornings, when we come to church, when we are driving down the road and we pass a sanctuary, a church building, when we think about pews and sanctuaries, when we think about coming before God with our prayers and our songs, when we think about coming before God with our broken hearts, I know from my own experience and from what you have told me that there are times when we come to those experiences and we don't feel fit, right? There are times when we come before God or we think about coming before God and we say, I can't do it. I am not the kind of person who is fit and ready to enter into sacred space. I can't do it because my heart has been dirtied by the sins that I have committed. I can't do it because I am impure. God doesn't want me in God's sacred space. I know that from my own experience, times in my life where I didn't feel like I was appropriately set up in my heart and in my spirit to enter God's sanctuary. I know that we wrestle with that and struggle with it. I also know that I'm not the only one who struggles with it because I've heard you all tell me some of your struggles with those experiences, wondering if you are appropriate to sit in the pews of a church, wondering if you are cleansed enough, if you are too dirty, too stained by the sins and the brokenness of this world to enter into God's sanctuary. Just this year, someone told me a story about they were seeing me in my life, you know, with young kids, and it was an older person. He was reflecting on his experience being a young father, and he told me about how when he was a young father, he and his wife, you know, they thought it was important that their kids would go to Sunday school and go to church and to learn about God. And so what he did was every Sunday, he would load the kids in the back of the family car and he would drive them down the road to the local church. And he would pull into the church campus, right? He'd pull up on the church driveway and the kids would open the back doors of the car and they would tumble out and they would go running into the church building. But his feet never touched that sacred ground, right? His feet never touched the ground of that church campus. And week after week, he would drive his kids to Sunday school, and they would get out and they would go into the building for their program. And a good minister of that church came out and said to him, you know, to the dad, why don't you come in? You know, we'd love to have you here. Come and be a part of things. Come to worship. Come to the service. And that dad told me now, you know, years and years later, that when that minister, when that pastor invited him to come to worship, he didn't say it in so many words, but his response was, no, I can't. You know, I can't enter into that church building. I can't go into that space because God doesn't want me there, because God knows what I have done. God knows the sins that I have committed. God knows how bad of a person I am. God knows the pain that I have caused others. God knows the trouble that I have made in my life and in this world. And God doesn't want me in church, right? And not so many words this man told me about how he knew that his heart was stained with sin, and how he felt like he was not pure enough, appropriate enough to enter into God's presence. People of God, we have all experienced this in one way or another in our lives. We have all wondered in one way or another in our lives, am I appropriate? Does God accept me? God knows what I have done. Surely God doesn't want me in God's houses of worship. The gospel message comes and it speaks to us powerfully when we have these experiences. The gospel message, which Archibald Alexander delivered back in 1831 and which we find in our scripture passage for this morning, speaks to us, to those of us who wonder, am I clean enough? Am I appropriate enough to enter God's house of worship? And the answer that we receive from scripture is that God has already made us clean. People of God, the good news of the gospel, the story of scripture, is the story of a God who loves us and who cares about us, and a God who made us because God wants to have a relationship with us. The story of scripture and the message of the gospel is that God's love for us is such that God will not allow the stains of our sin and the dirtiness that we collect upon ourselves living in this broken world and living out our sinfulness. God will not allow those stains to come between us and God's relationship with us. The message of the gospel is that God has cleansed us of our sins. God has purified our hearts and our spirits and our lives in order that we can have a relationship with God. The message of the gospel is that through Jesus Christ, God has dealt with our sins. And one of the metaphors, one of the ideas that the gospels use to explain what that salvation is and what it means to us is the metaphor of being washed clean. That in his death on the cross and in his resurrection to new life, what Christ has done for us is taken away the stains of those sins and cleaned our hearts and our souls in order that we might receive the new life that God has for us in Jesus Christ. Our author, the author of the book of Hebrews in our scripture passage for this morning, he is writing to his friends, his congregation, to remind them of this gospel message that we can, in confidence, enter into God's presence. He says that we have been cleaned by Christ's blood, that we are able to enter into God's presence through the curtain that is Christ's flesh. What is he talking about there? Well, he's talking about the tabernacle experience of being washed clean and passing through the curtain of the Holy of Holies into God's presence. And the author of Hebrews is telling his friends that Jesus has made us ready. He has cleansed us, and he has opened up the curtain through his body in order that we might come into God's presence. What does the author say? He says, enter with full assurance. The gospel message is that Christ has already taken care of our stains, the stains that we might have had in our hearts and that we might continue to throw at ourselves with our sinfulness, that Jesus has taken care of those stains for us. He has made us clean and appropriate and fit to enter into God's presence. Why? Because God loves us. And God wants to have a relationship with us. And so the author of Hebrews tells his friends to enter with full assurance into God's presence. He further says that our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies have been washed as with pure water. He is using this metaphor of cleansing to remind his friends, to remind his Christian friends, that they may enter into God's presence. And finally, he says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, without wavering. What the author of Hebrews was experiencing in his ministry was that people were starting to worry. They were starting to worry. They had heard the gospel message that Jesus had given them forgiveness of their sins. He had His friends had heard the gospel message that Jesus had washed them clean, but now they were starting to waver. People were coming into their lives and they were saying, you can't just enter into God's presence. You know, this Jesus stuff isn't good enough. You have to do more. If you want to enter into God's presence, you have to live this way, or you have to do this ceremony, or you have to practice this ritual. You can't just enter that church building. You have to do this first and that first. And the author of Hebrews reminds us that the only thing that we need to be made clean, the only thing that we need is what God has already given to us in Jesus Christ. By faith, we are restored. We are made new. By faith, God has cleaned out our hearts and given us a new life. By faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God has anointed us with a cleansing anointing, with the waters of baptism, to give us new life and to make us fit and ready to enter into God's presence. People of God, I hope that you hear that message, and I hope that it rings true with you. I hope that that God's Spirit brings that message home to you, that you are beloved of God, and God's love for us has motivated God to cleanse us of our sins so that we can have a close and a good relationship with God. Dr. Alexander, in his sermon, explains that we come to worship for this water, and we don't come to worship every week needing to be cleansed again. We don't actually need water. What we need when we come to worship is to be reminded that this cleansing has already taken place. And so that is my prayer this morning, is that God's word to us in Scripture, God's inspiration, hopefully, through my sermon, has reminded us of this good news, that God has made us clean, that God has restored our lives, that God has made us fit and ready to enter into a relationship with God. Dr. Alexander puts it this way in his sermon. He says, this isn't his quote, but he says that we come to worship to be reassured of the message of God's salvation. We come to feel the Spirit confirming the truth of the Gospels in our hearts. This is the quote. He says that the Word of God is like a purifying bath, and the influences of the Spirit descend as a gently distilling rain. Every week, every day, every moment of every day, we need to hear God's word and to feel the influences of God's Spirit like a cleansing, distilling rain, reminding us that in love, in grace, and in mercy, God has forgiven our sins, taken the stain away, and God is now with us, residing in our hearts. Thanks be to God. Amen. We'll sing another song this morning, Baptized in Water. Again, if you have your bulletins at home, I hope that you can join me and Katie on the recording as we sing together.
Praises
we sing. Baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit, marked with a sign of Christ our King. Born of the Spirit, we are God's children. Joyfully now God's praises we sing. Now in our service, we move into our time of announcements and prayer requests. I'm going to have a difficult time getting your prayer requests over Facebook Live, but if you do want to comment here on the Facebook Live page, we will include your prayers in this coming week's prayer requests, the emails that we send out from the church offices. So do comment here on Facebook Live with your prayer requests, and we will include those in our church prayers throughout the week and in the weeks to come. Yes. So I do have a few announcements just to highlight some things going on in the life of the church. So during this time of social isolation, where we need to be staying distant from one another to avoid spreading the coronavirus, we do continue to have meetings through Zoom and through Facebook. So I wanted to just let people know that if you're interested, I lead a Bible study on Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m. It's for the Blauenberg Church, but anyone and everyone's invited to be a part of that. I do a little bit of teaching during the Bible study. It's a Bible study. We read the Bible and we study scripture, but it's also a time of prayer and a time to check in and catch up with one another about how we're all doing. And it's a wonderful time of community. So I hope you will, if you're able and interested, join us for Bible study on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock. The Griggstown Church has a Bible study at 10 o'clock on Thursday mornings. Carolyn Arneson leads that time of Bible study. So if you're interested, reach out to the church office in Griggstown or to Carolyn, and she can let you know. They can let you know how to join Carolyn and the Griggstown group for their Bible study. And then on Fridays, I host a fellowship time for Griggstown. That's a time for the church community to see to one another and to chat. To catch up and to pray together. So I would encourage you to look in church emails and on Facebook for the information about those Bible studies and that time of fellowship. Now, that's another special announcement I wanted to make this morning, just on behalf of the leadership of both churches, that we would encourage you all to regularly check and read your church emails. We know that a lot of people are on the church email lists, and not necessarily everyone opens and reads every email every week. But during this time where things are changing all the time, and you know, life is strange, it's important to stay connected. And we are using the office emails from Griggstown's office and Blauenberg's church office to share important announcements and important information. So if you can, please do open and read your emails from the church offices. Another way to stay connected is to like the Facebook pages for your church, for either the Blauenberg Church or the Griggstown Church. We try to do a good job of sending out important information, not only through email, but also through the Facebook pages. And if the church offices don't have your current email address or the best phone number for you, I would encourage you to send an email to the church office and let us know, you know, what's the best way to be in touch with you digitally via email and phone number. We would love to be able to keep people informed as things change and as developments continue to unfold during this time of social isolation. Final announcement, we have plans on May 31st, so the last Sunday in this month of May, we're going to be having a congregational meeting for the Blauenberg Church after our worship service meeting. So hopefully Zoom will work on May 31st, and we'll have a congregational meeting so that we can elect new elders, a new elder and new deacons for the consistory at Blauenberg. So if you're a member of the Blauenberg Church, I would strongly ask you to be in worship on May 31st on Zoom, and to stick around after that worship service for the congregational meeting that we'll have on May 31st. During this time in worship, we also remember that God, part of God's grace to us is God's invitation that we take part in the good work that God is doing in this world. God calls the church to be God's servants in the world. God calls the church to live out God's mission and God's calling here in this world. And so there are many ways that we respond. The ministries of our church are our response to God's calling. The ways that we each personally live our lives are in part our response to God's calling, that we would take part in God's work. Just one of the ways that we respond to God's calling is by supporting the ministries of our church through our tithes, gifts, and offerings. And as we're not able to meet together in person, we're asking that folks consider mailing in their donations to the church via check in order to continue to sustain and support the ministries of our churches. If you need more information about how you can donate to church, please do reach out and let us know. We will continue in worship now by singing our song of praise, "Thine is the Glory."